Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors. Welcome to the PI World interview recorded on the 12th of August 2021, and I'm your host, Tamsin Freeman, and today I'm delighted to be joined by Keelan Cooper, financial analyst at Stockopedia, who's just produced the Stockopedia IPO Survival Guide. Keelan, many thanks for joining us.
Hi Tamsin, thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about how you got into investing and then how you came to be working at Stockopedia.
Yeah, absolutely. So I started investing when I was 12. After making money from selling sweets at school, I saved up $2,000 and I decided to put everything into some small caps, mainly oil and gas producers and miners in Mozambique. And 2 years later, I was left with 10% of my original investment, with most of them bankrupt. At least I learned my lessons early on. Then I came across a Stockopedia brochure 2 years later. I was a devout follower of Warren Buffett. I love my contrarian plays. So I love the idea that I could screen for those using Stockopedia. And the year after, I decided to get on a flight from Dubai, where I was living, to the UK Investor Show to ask Ed and Alex if I could come for an internship that summer. They said yes as a research analyst, and I've been going back ever since. I mean, it's been 5-6 years now. Great.
Brilliant. And you're at Loughborough University, aren't you?
Yeah, studying banking, finance and management, and I'm in my final year this year.
Tremendous. What a great story. So can you tell us where the idea came from to produce the research into IPOs?
Yeah, so we've seen a lot of IPO activity around the world this year. In the UK market alone, I think we've seen the highest level of IPO activity since 2007. I think it was 5.6 billion in the first quarter alone. In the first half of this year, there's been more IPOs than the whole of last year. So we're really seeing heightened levels of IPO activity, and there's not much research out there for private investors. So we just had this idea, obviously, to do a big statistical analysis of IPOs to try and help get some key findings and insights to help guide private investors on their journey. IPOs aren't really easy to navigate. They're hard to value. So yeah, we're just trying to help out.
Brilliant. And I think it covers 258 companies across 5 years that have IPO'd over that period, which is extraordinary. How did you go about putting together this research?
Yeah, that's correct. So we took the 258 UK IPOs from January 2016 to May 2021. So we queried our databases. We had most of the pricing information at specified time intervals for the period. But there were a few scenarios in terms of like delists and takeovers that we didn't have in the database. So I went over to the London Stock Exchange. I queried all of those, got all of those manually, collated everything, and then we were able to start our analysis. Quite a rigorous process, but it's been worth it.
And how long did it take? How many hours?
Well, the idea started back in January, and the data collation started end of March, start of April. So a lot of hours.
Yeah. Wow. So what's the conclusion? Are IPOs an opportunity to buy a multi-bagger?
Well, I mean, there are the opportunities to do so, but I mean, they're few and far between is what we found. So we looked at the average performance figures, which were really quite impressive. There was a five-year CAGR of 10%. So I decided to dig a little deeper to see if that's really reflective. So I first had a look at the distribution. And in the top decile for the distribution, you could see how just a few 200-300 percenters distort the actual performance. So I then decided to look at the median, and the median paints a completely different picture. So you have a sweet spot for IPOs, which is the 3 to 6 month time frame, and then after that the performance after 1 year completely inverts. So you've got a negative CAGR over 1 to 5 years, which I think was over a 5 year period minus 4.2% or something, which is, especially if you compare on a relative basis to the market, is extremely poor.
And did you bear in mind in your analysis whether it was private equity or management selling out, or whether they were staying in? And was there an indication that the share price went up more when management stayed in and they were just trying to sell out their stake, and it went down faster if management was selling out or it was private equity selling out?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't do a quantitative analysis of that, but obviously we did some research around the qualitative aspects, and I did some deep dives into a few companies, and we did find that obviously when the owners of smaller companies are holding for longer periods of time, they tend to perform better overall. Whereas if you have these mid large cap IPOs where the owners are often looking to sell out, they're looking for an exit route, those tend to do worse. We found that throughout the study.
So it seems to be down to timing. You want to be in at the very beginning, but what else should we be looking at? What other metrics, maybe valuation or market cap, or what should we be looking at with IPOs?
I mean, factors, we applied factors to IPO investing, and obviously with Stockopedia and the stock ranks, we were able to do that. So we looked at quality and value as the key characteristics. So we took the quality value rank after a 6 month period, because then we had a bigger data set, and we found that the 60 to 100 outperformed tremendously. So I think it was 60 to 80 was 153% return, and 157% for 80 to 100, which is incredible. And then obviously for the 0 to 20 basket, I think it was a return of -7%. So really, they do outperform, and I mean, you just need to have a look at the prospectus documents, go through all the financials, check the returns over time, see if profits are growing, revenues are growing, or if losses are minimizing over the last few years, and you'll have a better chance of success.
Now, in my experience, on platforms like Stockopedia, it takes quite a long time for new IPOs to get listed, and then even longer to get metrics for, say, value and quality listed. How long does it take for an IPO to be listed and then to start getting meaningful information for quality and value?
Yeah, so I've done a lot of work on this with our data providers over the past year. Essentially, what happens is the admission document or the prospectus is blocked by disclaimer. So our data providers aren't able to actually pull the data from the prospectus. So we don't have any data readily available. In the situations where they are pulled, we also need the next interims or the annuals to be able to compute the ranks. What typically happens in the case that we don't have the prospectus available due to the disclaimers, we get the next interims or the annuals, and then we're able to start collating everything. But yeah, we've been having discussions with our data providers over the past few months to see if this is something we can change or improve moving forward.
But it's quite a handicap because if the most growth is coming in the first 3 months or 6 months and you can't get any data, I suppose we all have to rely on the admissions document and we can't really rely on a platform like Stockopedia at that point.
Yeah, I mean that's something we are definitely trying to work on. But if you do go through the prospectus, you'll be able to get a few ratios together and hopefully make some better, more informed decisions.
And you talk about market cap and going for smaller market cap, and you also talk about the value and quality metrics, and that those that have got a higher ranking of higher than 65 will do better. But wouldn't you say that that's normal for all stocks? So that we do better in small cap and micro caps, and we do better when you've got good valuation and quality metrics. So why is that particular for IPOs, or is it particular for IPOs?
Yeah, I think the small cap point is very interesting, because I think we definitely have a UK bias towards small caps, and due to the levels of interest we have, I think there's more research and there's better win rates across small caps in the UK market. That's for sure. But what we did find was the extent to which small caps outperformed their mid cap and large cap peers to be incredible. I think it was so after 1 year for the large cap IPO performance, it was -20%. After 2 years, it was -22 or -23%, whereas small caps was positive 13% after 1 year, and positive 30% after 2 years. And I think after 5 years, small caps was 85%, whereas the large caps was -2. Just shows you the severity of the outperformance. And yeah, it was really impressive.
Fascinating. And you talk about, particularly for the large caps, that there's been aggressive IPO pricing and promotion. Did you look at who the brokers were that were handling those IPOs and who was promoting them? Have we got any clues as to who are the main culprits?
Yeah, I mean all the financial institutions involved really take their cut, and regardless of what the PIs end up with, they make sure they have their fair share beforehand. I think the best case in with that is the issue price jump that we see to the opening price. They get in early, they're able to get out early, and they make their money, and private investors aren't able to benefit. And it was one of the eye-opening findings of the study, really.
And you talked about the Chancellor of the Exchequer making changes to IPOs. What does that involve, and will that change the opportunity that private investors have?
Yeah, so I mean the changes that he's proposing at the moment are mainly focused around tech. I think the Chancellor wants basically more tech startups and more tech companies to come list in the UK rather than all of them moving abroad or always choosing the US as the go-to for tech IPOs. So from that perspective, it's great because it's going to mean more options, hopefully for UK investors. But the changes don't mean that investors will be able to get in at the issue price or. There's none of that. It's mainly around dual share class structures, which will allow owners to retain more voting rights, which will encourage tech IPOs. That's all.
And have you got any tips for investors to get in at the IPO price?
Well, I mean, if you get in at the opening price, you can often do well over a 3 to 6 month period, but getting in at the issue price is really quite difficult. I know that platforms like PrimaryBid are trying to improve that. Interactive Investor have campaigned for that as well in the past, which is great. But we need to do more, and I think we need to raise this with the FCA really as something which needs to be done.
And I suppose the other thing is to flag the to be aware that the IPO is actually happening. Quite often, I can find that I wasn't even aware of a company and it's been IPO'd for a few weeks, and you've missed that advantage of the first day of listing. Do Stockopedia have any plans to list out new IPOs that are coming along?
Absolutely. So that's definitely in the pipeline. I mean, we can't give a deadline on that yet, but we're hoping sometime next year we'll have an upcoming and a recent IPO list. Somewhere you'll find it on the site.
Fantastic. And you talk about tech and the Chancellor, and also in the report you say that health, financial, and energy have performed better than consumer cyclicals, telecoms, and utilities. But again, wouldn't that be the case for the wider market anyway?
Yeah, I mean the tech and health sectors have definitely been the hot sectors of the past decade, and telecoms and utilities also being the not so hot sectors over the past decade. But the energies and financials doing really well for IPOs was quite surprising because they haven't done that well in the wider market. And consumer cyclicals, which have been on an amazing run over the past year, have actually done really bad for IPOs. So there were a few interesting findings in that.
And you say that international, well, large cap international market listings, so companies from overseas that are coming here to list, if they're large cap, it's a pretty poor investment. But did you find the same for small cap and micro caps? So we've got quite a lot of AIM listed Israeli companies, for example. Did you find that they were that small cap and micro cap escape that problem, or are all international IPOs to avoid?
No, most international IPOs are to avoid. I mean, there were a few in the data set which actually improved the results because we had, I think, two or three multi-baggers in that data set. But I did find that across small caps and micro caps, the performance was still negative. Yeah.
And were there any additional findings in the research that you didn't get a chance to publish in the report?
Yes, there were a few findings that didn't make the final cut. One of them was the stock ranks. So we did a big analysis on these stock ranks. However, the momentum rank as a component isn't really fair, obviously, due to the performance factor. So what we decided was to just include the QV rank. But the stock ranks performed very much in line with the QV ranks. I mean, from the 80 to 100 stock rank basket, we had in an aggregated performance of about 140%. And we saw much of the same with the QV rank in terms of the 0 to 60 basket sizes performing really quite poorly.
But again, that's very, very similar to how one screens for stocks anyway, whether they're IPOs or not. So I'm wondering whether IPO stocks as well as perform just the same as normal stocks, if you understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah, they do. I mean, overall, in the end, they perform much more in line with the wider market. But it's the volatility as well that's very different to the wider market. I mean, you get these huge price swings that you wouldn't get otherwise. So for anyone who's all right with the volatility, then it's you can make your money with it. But yeah, it's very, very much high risk.
And do you know any IPOs that are coming up over the next few months?
Yeah, there are quite a few in the UK market planning before the end of the year. I think BrewDog was one. There's Wise, TransferWise. Then there's Monzo and there's McLaren as well. Quite a few interesting picks in there, especially Wise and Monzo as fintech companies. You'd expect there to be quite a bit of interest around those.
But they're all quite large cap, aren't they?
Yeah, they're mainly 1 billion plus listings. We'll see how they do.
So that would be ones based on your research, probably to avoid.
Yeah, unless the prospectus indicates that they've got high quality, high value. Yeah, I mean, you've got to put all these factors together, read through the prospectus, understand really what you're being sold, and then you'll get a good idea of whether it'll be a winning or losing IPO.
And have you looked at any of them on their quality factors?
I will be having a look at Monzo when the prospectus is released. I'm a big fan of Monzo personally, so I will be definitely having a look.
Tremendous. Well, thank you very much for giving us those insights. Do you want to tell people where they can find out more about the IPO Survival Guide?
Yes, thank you, Tamsin. We'll have a link in the description below detailing all the key findings of the study.
Tremendous. And to our listeners, many thanks for joining us. You can find over 100 investor interviews like this at piworld.co.uk under the PI Wisdom tab as a video or as a podcast. And please subscribe to receive a notification of a new video as they're published with no spam, and keep us motivated to continue producing these interviews, especially by commenting on the content or liking or retweeting. It means a lot to us. Many thanks for listening and stay well. PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.